One is Kiddushin and one is Ksubis. There are two parts to marriage. The first part is Erisin, that's known as Kiddushin, and the second part is Nisuin. we recite under the chuppah, in the marriage ceremony, we recite Birchas Erisin, then the chassan gives the ring to the kala, and then you have a big hafsoke. It's supposed to be a big hafsoke. Somebody reads the ksuba. And then you have the Birchas Nisuin. The Sheva Bracha is the Birchas Nisuin. So this was introduced, the reading of the ksuba, the Hagos Maimini, on the bottom of the Ram quotes, this was introduced in the days of the Rabbeinu Tam, because in the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, used to be a long pause of 6 months or 12 months, a long pause in between Erisin and Nisuin. And the Gaonim did away with that because the woman is an Eishes Ish from the time the Chosin gives the Kiddushin. There are certain dinim that don't apply until Nisuin. Al pi halacha, the Arusa is an Eishes Ish alo b'beis habal, and the Nisuin is considered an Eishes Ish b'beis habal. Like the Gemara has, if I own property and somebody stole it, and I don't know where it is, so the property is mine in Shali, but it's in the Bishusi. And if I know where it is, then it's Shali or Bishusi. So Bishusi is considered full bailus. If something is Shali or Bishusi, I'm a full bailus. Something Shali, then a Bishusi. So there's a Machleg Zabiechon and Reish Lokish, there's a Machleg Zatanoim and Baba Kama. And Machleg Zabiechon and Reish Lokish had a Paskan on Dav Samachtes. And we Paskan like Rabbi Yechon, that if something is Shali, then a Bishusi, I'm lacking in the Baila. So too, by an Eishes Ish, a Mekudeshes, a woman has Eris and has Kiddushin, is an Eishes Ish, a love of Beis HaBaal. And then when you do Nisuin, that's Hachnosa L'Rishusai, then she's considered an Eishes Ish with Beis HaBaal. What are differences between Arusa and Nisua? So the Gemara will always rattle off three differences. Liyarsha, Latami, Lalahof, and Nadareva, that the husband only yarshins the wife if the wife dies before the husband yarshins only if they had nisuin. If they only had erisin, the husband does not yarshin. Lahafin the dareha is psukim in chumish, that when a girl is a naira hamarasa, that's the name of a perik in the end of nidorim, naira hamarasa, or via baila mefirim nidareha, you need a shutfis. The hafara has to be done by both the girl's father, if she's a ktana or a naira. So the father still plays a role. So the hafara has to be done b'shutfis between the father and the oris and the husband. But in Eishes Ish Nisua, the baal is made for all the nedarim, all by himself. And letame law is a din chumish that the kohen is only metame if the wife dies. The kohen is only metame to the seven relatives. Normally, a kohen is not allowed to be metame l'meisim. So Ishto is one of the seven relatives. So the kohen is only metame. Kim the share hakar of share is the ishta and share is only after nisuin. If the baal only had erisin with the wife, then the husband is not metame. The Gemara in Yuma says in the first parak in Yuma that the first mishnah in Yuma says the kohen gadol has to be married for Yom Kippur because he says in the vidui v'chipa bado biad beisoy. V'chipa means he should recite vidui for himself and for his wife, so he has to be married. So the Bavli says, Beferish, he has to have Nisuin. If he's only married with Erisin, that's not called Beisa. Beisa Zoishto, that expression that the Gemara Darshan, Beisa Zoishto, that only applies to Nisua. Taisus there has a discussion whether the Yerushalmi disagrees or does agree, but that's what it says in the Bavli. The Beisa Zoishto is only Nisua. And the Pashto says, because in definition, that's the basic difference between Arusa and Nisua. Arusa is an Eishes Ish alo b'beis habaal, and Nisua is an Eishes Ish b'beis habaal. So Maseches Kiddushin is all about Kiddushin, Erisin, and Maseches Ksubis is all about Nisuin. Yeah. What is a Ksuba? What is a Ksuba? So we usually refer to a Ksuba as the document that the Chosin gives the Kala under the Chuppah that has the three parts to it. It has the Iker Ksuba, is the 50 shkolim. The Torah has a din of we're starting Perek Eilu Nairis. Officially, the Shiva is learning Eilu Nairis. So Eilu Nairis in the next Perek is Nairis and it's Patsa, talks about the din of Oinus and Mefata. So the halacha says that a man is Ma'anus a woman, or Mefata a woman, say if she's a Naira, Psula, Shelo, Ayarasa, all the details we learn in the Mishnayos. So he has to pay a penalty. Kesav Yishkol Kemohar HaBesulos. He has to pay the amount that they used to pay that they used to obligate themselves in Ban Matan Torah. That was a minig, that when a couple would get married, the husband would obligate himself in the event that he divorces his wife or he dies before her, then he would obligate himself to give her chamishim shekel kesef, 50 shkolim. So the Torah says, "Bayoynis amefata epe chamishim shekel kesef," and that's kemoar habesulas, because he was ma'anis amefata her, so no one's going to want to marry her. She's going to have a problem finding a shidduch. So it's because of him that she's no longer a besula. And Mizman Batan Torah, that was the common practice, that when a man would marry a besula, he would obligate himself to give her 50 shkolim. So that's a question. The Torah says that Oynes HaMefata Pei Chamishim Shekel Kesef, Kesef Yishkol Kemor HaBesula, that was the practice Mizman Batan Torah. Does the Torah mean to endorse that? The Torah says that that is a din, that Ksuba is the Raisa, that whenever... whenever a couple gets married and the husband divorces his wife, that's a din in the Torah that she's entitled to collect ksuba. No, the Torah just says, Oynes HaMefata, that you have to pay chamishim shekel kesef, that's a real din there, right? And that's based on the practice, bizman matan Torah, the meaning that they had, bizman matan Torah, maybe by the Umos HaOlam also they had that practice, that they used to give ksuba of chamishim shekel kesef. So that's a recurrent machlokes that comes up every 15 blot in the Masechta, with the ksuba deraisa, ksuba lav deraisa. The obligation that the husband has to pay ksuba in the event that he divorces his wife, or the obligation he has to give her his chayvus, that's we'll have to, when we learn the Gemara, we'll have to see exactly what's the machlokes, with the ksuba deraisa, lav deraisa. Whatever it is, there's a machlokes hatanoim, with a lot of nafkaminas, and then there's a machlokes harishonim in the first parak, how we paskin. The most of the Rishonim paskin that ksuba lav deraisa. The Rambam also paskin ksuba is lav deraisa. When it says nechumish kesef yishkol kemor habsulas, the Torah is not endorsing the more habsulas that practice. The Torah just says oynes hamefat has to pay chamishim shekel kesef, which happens to correspond to the amount that there was the minig b'zmatan matan Torah to give a habsula. But the Torah doesn't say. We assume that the obligation of ksuba is only takon de rabbanan. It's not a din deraisa. You look in the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchus Ishus, the Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvahs as by way of introduction to the Mishnah Torah. What is the mitzvah of Liman HaTorah? What is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to learn V'lamadtem osam, mishmartem la'asosam. We should learn all of the mitzvahs. We should learn which are the 613 mitzvahs. V'lamadtem osam, you should learn all the mitzvahs. Ushmartem las osam, you should be careful to observe all of the mitzvahs. So the ikar of liman haTorah is to know what are the tarayak mitzvahs and to know all the details. So the Rambam, by way of hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, writes a whole sefer mitzvahs. It happens that he wrote the sefer mitzvahs in Arabic. So most people today usually use the translation, different translations. And then throughout the whole Mishnah Torah, then the Rambam has the version, the shorter version that he wrote himself in Hebrew, the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara, where he only has one or two lines for each mitzvah. And then at the beginning of every section, he tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to cover in this section. So at the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, the Rambam writes that in this section, there are four mitzvahs, a couple of mitzvahs essay, two mitzvahs essay, and two mitzvahs lois essay. And then the first mitzvah is a mitzvah sasei lisa isha b'ksuba b'kiddushin. To get married, b'ksuba b'kiddushin. What do you mean? To give your wife a ksuba is part of the mitzvah deraisa? The Rambam is the one who paskins like Rov HaRishonim, the ksuba lab deraisa. In the Ashkenazi ksubas, it says that the chosan obligates himself to give the wife masayim zuz, which is, there are four zuzim in a shekel, so masayim zuz is the equivalent of 50 shkolim. So he obligates himself to give masayim zuz, the chosi lichim midi araisa, that you are entitled to minatur. So that's a problem. So a lot of Svardish ksubas, they leave out the word chosi lichim midaraisa, it's not midaraisa. Rov HaRishonim paskin the ksuba is lav deraisa. The Ashkenazim put it in, and the Rosh is quoted in Ebenezer, in Shulchan Aruch Simen Samach Vav. The Ramah quotes the Rosh, that what it means simply is the following, that the Gemara says in the end of Chorus, and the Gemara says in the first Perek in Kedushin, that they used to have two monetary systems running at the same time. Take, for example, we have America and Canada. So both have a monetary system. They have pennies and nickels, I think, and dimes and quarters, and half dollars and dollars. but the relationship is not always the same. Sometimes the Canadian dollar is worth more than the American dollar. Sometimes American dollar is worth more than the Canadian dollar. It keeps on switching. The relationship between the penny and nickel, a dime and a quarter, that's always the same. But the two monetary systems are rarely the same. They're never the same. They're always different. So in the days of the Tanaim, they had two monetary systems running at the same time that had a relationship with each other. There was Kesef Tzuri and there was Kesef Medina. So the Kesef Tzuri, each penny, nickel, dime, quarter, half dollar, and so on, was always worth eight times the value of that same coin in the other system. In the Kesef Medina system, they had pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. And the Kesef Tzuri system, each one of those coins was worth eight times as much as the other one. So the Gemara has a klal called Kesef Hama Batara. Whenever the Torah has a din, an amount of money that you have to give, let's say Shloshim Shalevet, Shora Mod kills an Evet Knanis, you have to pay Shloshim Shalevet. Or Oinus and Lefata has to pay Hamishim Shekel Kesef Pidyon Aden, you have to give five Shkolim. What else? Matzis HaShekel, you have to give for the purpose of purchasing Karbanas Tiber, everybody has to give, all the men have to give a Matzis HaShekel. So Kol Kesef Hama Batara, any amount of money that appears in the Chumash, that's based on the Kesef Tzuri system, the higher amount of money. The Shel Divrei, whenever it's a din midirabanan, that the Tanoim invented a chi of Tashlum in midirabanan, so they were talking in terms of Kesef Medina, the smaller amount. So the Shal is, what about Ksuba? If you hold that Ksuba is the Raisa, Kesef Yishkel Kmar Hapsulas, then you pay the same amount as Oinus and Mefata, then you pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef of Kesef Tzuri. And if you hold that Ksuba is Lav Deraisa, Rov HaRishonim Paskin Ksuba is Lav Deraisa, so you're going to pay Kesef Medina. So the Rosh explains, no. The Ksuba is mentioned in the Chumash. It says that was the meaning Bizman Matan Tor. Kesef Yishkol Kemor HaPsulas. One who's Ma'anis HaMafata Anayra B'sula has to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesef corresponding to Moira HaBesulas. So even though we Paskin Ksuba Lav Deraisa, but it's mentioned in the Chumash, the Ksuba, the Takana de Rabbanan, that was instituted by the Tanoim. Shimon ben Shetach, the Gemara says in the first parak in Masechta Shabbos, Shimon ben Shetach was the one who introduced the Takana of Ksuba, but it's based on the Pasuk in Chumash. And the Pasuk in the Chumash is talking about Chamishim Shekel Kesef, or Kesef Tzuri. So that's what the Rosh explains. That when we write, when Ashkenazim write in the Ksuba, that the husband obligates himself, there are three parts to the Ksuba, three amounts of money. So the first amount of money is the Masayim Zuz, there are four Zuzim in every shekel, so that's 50 shkolim. And you write, the Chazi Lich Midereisa, doesn't mean that you are entitled to Minar, it's only entitled Midirabanan, Ksuba is Lav Deraisa. But we mean to say, the Chazi Lichi, on the level of Deraisa, the obligation is in Kesef Tzuri, not in Kesef Medina. Even though usually, Kol Kesef Shal Devreim is Kesef Medina, but the amount of the Ksuba is Kesef Hama Bater, it's based on the Psukim and Chumash. That's what the Rosh explains. That's what the Ramah quotes Halacha L'maaseh. We usually assume in the Mishnayos in the first parak it says that if a person marries a girl who's getting married for the second time, a grusha or an almana, so the amount of the ksuba is half. If a person marries a psula who's getting married for the first time, the ksuba is masayim zuz. And if someone marries an almana or a grusha or a bula, whatever, so the ksuba is only 100 zuz. So the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch, it's not half the amount, it's 1/16 the amount. Because the Ksubas Bisula, Kesef Hama Batayra. The Rosh said, that's why we write the Chazir Licha Medereisa. So you pay 200 zuz Kesef Tzuri. And by the Almana, there's no Pasuk at all. Ksubas Almana is 100 zuz a Kesef Medina. Kesef Medina to begin with is only 1/8 the amount of the Kesef Tzuri. So you only give 100 of Kesef Medina. So it's not that people always say, this is 200, this is 100, this is twice as much. Not twice as much, it's 16 times as much. Okay, 16 times as much. So you look in the Rambam here, the Rambam passing the Ksubas Lav Deraisa. Most of the Rishonim passing Ksubas Lav Deraisa. This just quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, he's not a pushover. Rabbeinu Tam is a major Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam says that because we write in the Ksuba, the Chazi Licha Midyaraisa, that's a Hechoche. From the text of the Ashkenazi Ksubas, that's our Hechoche, that we have accepted La Locha, that Ksuba Deraisa. So Rav HaRishonim don't accept that. They say like the Rosh, that it means that you pay Kesef Tzuri amount. So the Rambam also holds that the Ksuba is Lav Deraisa. So what does the Rambam write? When he writes that there are two mitzvahs Aseh and two mitzvahs Lo Aseh. Two mitzvahs Aseh, one mitzvah is to get married, One mitzvah is pir v'rivya, to have children. Some people are married, they don't plan to have any children. So that's not right. Yeah, they have two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah to get married, one mitzvah to have children. So the Rambam writes, Lisa Isha, the ksuba v'kiddushin. What do you mean? That's part of the din d'oraisa. To give her a ksuba, how can it be? The Rambam holds that the whole story of the ksuba is only made the Rabbana. So the pashtus is, Rav Soloveitchik thought, Nistama is pasha pshat, that when the Rambam writes, Lisa Isha, the ksuba v'kiddushin, what he means is the shibud ksuba of sher ksus v'yayna. That says in the Chumash, when a man marries a girl, so he's obligated to share ksus v'yayna, lo yigra. We'll have to learn the Gemara. What does it mean, sher ksus v'yayna? That's a machlekes Rambam and the Ramban and Chumash. Machlekes HaTanaim and a machlekes HaRishanim. It's relevant halacha l'maisa. What's included in sher ksus v'yayna min HaTorah and what's only mid Rabbanan. But that's probably what he means. Lisa Isha b'ksuba v'kiddushin. B'ksuba means, let's say a man, the Gemara quotes a machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir. Usually the din is the Amasna Mashakos HaTorah tonight batla maisa kayim. Let's say a boy marries a girl. We just saw the film. So many young people were killed in the army. They have more chalitzas than we ever had. When you do a chalitza, so you always say at the end of the chalitza, you say Yirotzam Ofanecha Tfila. The Benois Yisrael should never come lidei chalitza. Now there's so many young men who are killed in Eretz Yisrael in the army. They just got married. They get killed before they had a chance even to have any children. You have a lot of chalitza. So let's say a man marries a girl. And the girl doesn't want to have the whole hassle of having a chalitza. So he says, Hareya Mukadeshesli, on the condition that if I die leaving no children, you shouldn't have to have chalitza. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi. That's a perfect example of the din of Masna Mashikosa Batur, tonight Batul HaMaisikayim. He says, Hareya Mukadeshesli, I want to marry you on this condition. That condition can't be. So you don't say that the Kiddushin is not Chal. You say the Kiddushin, Tanai Batla, Maisa Kayim. The Kiddushin is Chal, and the Tanai is Batla. So there's a Machlekes, that's everybody agrees. That's a Masa Mashkas Matar, Tanai Batla, Maisa Kayim. What if one makes a Tanai Bedovishav and Mammon? So take, for example, the Chumash says in Parshas Mishpatim, when a couple gets married, so the husband is Mushubit B'Shek Sus V'yayno. There are many other Shibudim. You look in the Rambam in Hilchas Ishus, he writes when a couple has nisuin, so there's so many reciprocal obligations. The husband is meshubah to the wife, wife is meshubah to the husband. Many shibudim, and there's reciprocity. We'll have to see in the Gemara the zetach hazeh. There's reciprocity over here. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim. Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda. What if a fella gets married and he says, "Hareya mukadesh esli," on the condition that I don't have to support you. Amarosh ein lochalai, share ksus. I don't want to have to support you, to buy you clothing, and to give you food, and to give you a place to sleep. I'll float around every time there's a bris. I'll go to a wedding. I'll invite myself to a pinyan, and I'll sleep in the park bench. I'll sleep in the shul. He wants to be married to the wife, but he doesn't want to have any obligations. So there's a machlok. If the meshugana girl agrees. If the girl doesn't agree, so there's nothing to discuss. If the girl agrees to be married to him on the condition, so is that a valid tanai? That's called masna mashikas matar bedovisha b'momen. It's not like he says, Hare mukadeshesli almanas, that if I die without any children, without any descendants, you shouldn't be required to have chalitz. That's masna mashikas matar bedovisha b'yisr. But masna mashikas matar bedovisha b'momen is machlek zameh rabiuda. And usually when there's a machlekes Rav Meir and somebody else, we rarely paskin like Rav Meir. The Gemara says Rav Meir was such a big genius. He used to give shiurim, the Gemara says in the first Perek Erev, and he would explain very well all the different shitas. You can say it like this, and you can say it like that, and you can say it the other way, and he wouldn't explain to the Talmidim what he holds halacha l'maaseh. He would say, but he wouldn't emphasize it. So the Talmidim in the days of the Tanaim, they didn't like that kind of a shir. Days of the Tanaim, they liked the shir where the Rebbe said, the halacha is X, Y, Z. Another generation, the Talmidim don't want to hear from the Rebbe what the din is. They want to hear Pilpulim. I remember when I was a Talmid in the yeshiva, one of the Talmidim once asked, I was in Rabbi Gerelich's class, he asked, so what's the din? So he said jokingly, call up the Agudas Rabbanim and ask him what the din is. That's not the Rebbe's responsibility to say what the din is. That was the Lithuanian yeshivas, that was the attitude that they had. They would frown upon those who were interested in knowing what the din is. But that, you look in the Rambam, that's the main part of Liman HaTorah, to know, Ulamadatam Osam, Ushmartam Las Osam. You have to learn which are the 613 mitzvahs, which are all the details of the mitzvahs, and to know how to observe all the dinim. So the Gemara said, because Rav Meir gave so many different zdodim, he explained all the logical possibilities, and he didn't give psak halacha l'maisa, so he had very few students, and the next generation, when they were voting what the din should be, so Rav Meir was usually outvoted. So we rarely pasken like Rav Meir. So here, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, halachic Rav Yehuda, we pasken like Rav Yehuda, that if a man marries a girl, the husband is not mechuyev to support her. So the Rambam al pi pashtus means to say that if a man marries a girl with such a tanai, he's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah deraisa of lisa isha. Lisa isha b'ksuba v'kiddushin means he should marry a girl erisin with nisuin with shibudik sherek sus v'yayin. You can marry the girl with such a tanai, it's a valid kiddushin, but he's not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to get married with a normal marriage. Normal marriage means the husband is mechuyev to support his wife. But sherek sus v'yayin. Fine. So the word ksuba has two different meanings. Usually the word ksuba refers to a piece of paper, which spells out the shibudim of the husband to the wife. Doesn't spell out any of the shibudim of the wife to the husband. Spells out the shibudim of the husband to the wife. You should know that the ksuba has three amounts of money, three different parts to it. The first part is the ikka ksuba. The ikka ksuba, if the girl is getting married for the first time, so then the Mishnah says in the first parak that ksubas besula is masayim zuz. Masayim zuz is 50 shkolim. Kesef yishkol kemor habesulas chamishim shekel kesef. Chamishim shekel kesef is 10 times pinyan aben. Pinyan aben is 5 shkolim. The chamishim shekel kesef is 10 times pinyan aben. How much is pinyan aben? How much do you have to give for pinyan aben? Halacha maisa, how much do you have to give? So you have to give a certain amount of prutas. I think it's 3,840 prutas. So Gemara Kiddushin in the first parak. Gemara tells you pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. It adds up to 3,840. So prutas. So how much is a pruta? So the Gemara thought mistakenly, the Gemara had a havamin in Kiddushin, that a pruta means the smallest coin in the monetary system in your country. Then the Gemara said that's not correct. So what is the definition of a pruta? How much is a pruta? So Gemara leaves you hanging. And that tells you what the correct answer is. So the Ramban, in the end of Bechoris, there is no riff on Bechoris. The Ramban wrote, we have halachas. I just came back from Morocco last night. I was touring in Morocco for 10 days. So the riff lived in Morocco. So the riff lived in Fez till the age of 75. And then he had to run away because the government was out to get him for some crazy reason or another. So he ran away to Spain and he started a new career. He founded a new yeshiva and he went strong till the age of 90. And the Rebbe Gash learned from the 15 years that the Rebbe lived in Lucena in Spain, the Rebbe Gash learned 14 years. Out of the 15 years, he learned in a second career. A second career. He learned by the Rebbe in Spain. So the Rif Sefer is called Hilchas HaRav Alfasi, Halachas. That's how the Rishonim all called it, Sefer Halachas, Hilchas HaRif. That's his name, Alfasi, because he lived in Fez. So the we don't have any Rif on Bechoris. The Rif only wrote on those Gemaras that are Halach L'maisa. Bechoris is not Halach L'maisa, but at the end of Bechoris, you have a little bit Hilchas Chalo, and you have a little bit Hilchas Pidyon HaBen. So the Ramban wrote Halachas. The Ramban wrote on the Nedarim also. We have a riff on the Nedarim. The Ramban didn't have a riff on the Nedarim. So he wrote halachas on the Nedarim and he wrote halachas on Bechoris. So the Ramban, when he talks about Pidyon HaBen, tells us, how much is a pruta? That you have to give 3,840. How much is a pruta? So he quotes the tradition from the Gaonim, and the Gemara never says. The Gemara just had a havamin, a kiddushin, not yud beis. A pruta is the smallest coin in the monetary system. In England, I don't know if they still, they used to have halfpennies. They used to have pennies, they used to have halfpennies, half pennies. So you're going to say, every country is going to be a different matbeya, is going to be called a pruta. That's not mistabra at all. So it must correspond to something. The Gemara rejects that. A pruta does not mean the smallest coin in the monetary system. So what is it? So the Ramban in Hilchos Becharis quotes the tradition from the Gaonim, Mishkal Chatzi Seora Kesef Zokuk. Means if you take a barley grain, average size barley grain, how much is an average size barley grain? You have to take a million barley grains and see what's the average. Take an average size barley grain, you cut it in half, and you put it on one side of the scale. It's not going to weigh anything, it's not going to register even. If you put a half a grain, barley grain, Mishkal Chatzi Seora Kesef Zokuk, put the half of the grain on one side of the scale. Then on the other side, you put granulated silver, pure silver. So the value of so much silver, which is the weight of chati seora, of a half of a barley grain. So the way to do it is to, you're going to weigh one barley grain. It's not going to register at all. So how many prutas do you need? So you need 3,840 prutas is the equivalent of the pidyon aven. So how many, if each pruta is mishkal chatzi sora kesef zakuk, so how many barley grains do you need? So you need half of that. What's half of 3840?
1920.
So make life easier. So put 1,920 barley grains on one side of the scale. Some of them will average themselves out. Or take thousands, I don't know, let's say 1920 barley grains on this side of the scale, and then keep on putting pure silver, kesef zakuk, on the other side of the scale till it's exactly the same weight. So that'll be the amount of pidyon aven. And then a pruta will be 1 over 3,840 of that. That'll be the amount of the pidyon aven. If a pruta would be a penny, the pidyon aven would have been $38.40. Pidyon aven, a pruta is never a penny. For many years, a pruta was much less than a penny. So pidyon aven was always much less than $38.40. And now a pruta is much more than a penny. So pidyon aven is something like over $100, I think. You have to find out how much silver sells for. How much silver sells for. That's a shayla. How much silver sells for on the day the baby is born? How much silver sells for on the Yom Lamed Aleph, the day that the Chiyah Pidyon Aven is Chal? So that's a discussion in the Netziv, Shaila. When is the Chiyah Pidyon Aven Chal? When the baby is born, it's Chal, or the Chiyah isn't Chal till the baby survives till the 31st day. The Gemara says in Bob Metzia, in the first daf in Perek Hazal, once you establish how much money it is, so it doesn't change. Let's say when the baby was born, Pidyon Aven was $125. And then the kid never had a pinyon aben, the parents never made a pinyon aben. By the time he grows up, the value of silver goes down. Silver keeps on fluctuating, goes up, goes down. So let's say by the time he finds out that he's supposed to give pinyon aben, it's already 25 years later, and silver went down. So you don't give how much mishkal chatzi, so you don't give how much the silver would weigh, the value of the silver now. You give how much it was. Gemara says, once you've established how much the pinyon aben is, so in that country, so it stays the same. Stays the same.
Assuming it's nikva according
to when he's born. Pashtus says it's nikva. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with everybody else. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it's nikva when the monetary system was established. You have to go back when George Washington established Hakamas HaMedina in the United States of America. So how much is that, by the way? 3,840 half Mishkal Chatzi Sar Kesef Zokah. What do you say? It's 1920 kernels of barley grain. How much is that in grams? So the Chazanish, most of the Poskim say like Chazanish, it's 96 grams of pure silver. Most say like that. 96 grams of pure silver. And the meaning is that you give 100. Now, some of Machman to give 101 grams, but Mikra then it's really 96. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion that you have to establish when the Medina was established and they established the monetary system. So in the days of George Washington, how much did 96 grams of pure silver sell for? And once it's established, it remains the same until you make a major change in the monetary system. So what's considered a major change? A devaluation or the reverse. So Moshe has this Gemara in the end of Bava Kamma. The Gemara talks about Megeta paying ribbis, the Klolim, what's called the major change. So Moshe says, whatever it was in the days of George Washington when they established in America The monetary system that goes on and on until they make a major change. Then you have to make a conversion when they made a major change. Moshe wrote the tshuva when the communists took over Russia. He happened to be there at the time. He suffered under the communists. So he says, he establishes how much Pidyonot then was under the czars. And then after the communists took over, what's the conversion? How do you convert to the new monetary system? So Moshe has a big chiddush that the same baby, if you do Pidyon HaBen in Eretz Yisrael, it'll be what amount of money? If you do the Pidyon HaBen in America, it'll be a different amount of money. If you do the Pidyon HaBen in Holland or in France, it'll be, in every country, it'll be a different amount of money. It all depends when the Hakamas HaMedina was and when the monetary system was established. It doesn't depend on this particular baby. And I think most assume, like the Chazon Ish, that it doesn't depend on Tchilas HaKamas HaMedina. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, once you've established how much Pidyon HaBen is in dollars and cents, it stays the same, means on this baby was born such a day. On Yom Lamed Aleph, there was a Chiyah Pidyon HaBen. So how much did pure silver sell for on that day? So that's established. It's going to be all the countries of the world. It's going to be the same amount. There's a conversion table from American currency to British currency to South African currency. It's going to be the same amount.
When you, if someone doesn't do Pidyon HaBen, so if let's say 20 years, so the day, and let's say the number is $100 on the day he's born, or the 31st day, etc. So he has to pay $100. But $100 today is worth a lot, it's going to be worth a lot less than $100 in 20 years from now. Is it still, I still pay the same $100 bill?
Right.
Or it's 100 times whatever the rate of inflation is that they...
No, the Gemara says that al pidin, money stays the same value. The commodities, everything in the world is divided into two categories, tiva and peira. Tiva is money, and peira is commodities. So the commodities fluctuate in value, and the money stays the same, al pidin. So we usually say, fakert, let's say, how come I have 1,000 kashet? How come real estate costs more? How come diamonds cost more? How come eggs cost more? How come suits cost more? How come furniture costs more? How come gemaras cost more? So we say one teretz on 1,000 kashet, the money is worth much less. So the halacha doesn't recognize that that's true. But the halacha says, al pidin, the money stays the same and all the commodities change in value. So once you've established how much you have to give for this particular child, for Pidyon HaBen and his Yom Laman Aleph, now once you've established in the Medina, that's what Moshe says, once you've established in the monetary system in this Medina, how much is Pidyon HaBen, so it stays the same until they make a major change, then you have to convert it. And then there's another major change, you have to convert again. It's very complicated. And most assume, like the Chazon Ish, that it depends on each individual baby. When this baby was Yom Lamed Aleph, how much was did 96 grams of pure silver sell for? Whatever it was in money, so that stays the same.
When the Chazon Ish said 96 grams, he was saying that according to his own calculations, how big as to the size of things, that's accepted according to everyone.
Yeah, that was before the Chazon Ish. Yeah, the long Biuri Hagro about this. So he says that most poskim assume that it's 96 grams of pure silver. Yeah. So that's the Pidyon HaBen is 96 grams of pure silver. And Hamishim Shekel Kesef Venus and Mefate and Ksuba, even if Ksuba loved their Isa, but the Ramah quoted the Rosh, that you write Kesef Masayim Zuz, the Chazi Lichem Ederaisa, the Ksub is only the Rabbana, but we write Chazi Lichem Ederaisa because you have to give Kesef Tzuris, they have to give whatever Pidyon HaBen is, they give 10 times as much. 10 times as much as peanuts, let's say, how much is Pidyon HaBen today? Maybe $120? I don't know, but you have to calculate. You have to ask someone, how much does pure silver? 100 grams of pure silver is $63. Right, so $63, and for ksuba you multiply.
Just kind of 3 ounces, 3.5 ounces.
Let's say, for argument's sake, let's say $63. So that's Pidyon HaBen. That's Pidyon HaBen is 5 shkolim. And the ikka ksuba is 10 times that. Say for the ganze ksuba you give us $630. The whole idea of the ksuba, Masayim Zuz, in the days of the Gemara, the girl would be able to, if I divorce my wife or she becomes an almana, she should be able to collect the ksuba. That should be a luck to keep her going for a year. For $630, if she fasts every Monday and Thursday, and she invites herself out every other day that she is eating, she won't last for a year. $630 is nothing. So we added on, so we have added on a lot. So there are three parts to every ksuba. The main part is the ikir, not really the main part, but the first part is the ikir ksuba. So by the ksubas, besula is going to be 10 times whatever you give for pinyan aben. Pinyan aben is 96 grams of pure silver, so it's going to be 960 grams of pure silver. And then we write arbitrarily, the Mishnais have in Perek Afalpi. Let's say the ikir ksuba is only 50 shkolim. He wants to add 1,000 shkolim, tosefes ksuba. So one could have argued, how can you call it tosefes ksuba? Tosefes is merubal ho'ikir. The ikir ksuba is only 50 shkolim. And he's giving 1,000 shkolim in addition. So the Mishnah says it doesn't matter. The man can add on as much as he wants for tosefes ksuba, even if the tosefes that he's adding on is in excess of the ikir ksuba. So that's our practice from the days of the Maharil, before the days of the Maharil, that we add on, as Tosefes Ksuba, we add on 100, if the girl is getting married for the first time, we add on 100 Zekukin Kesef Tzoruf. 100 Zekukin Kesef Tzoruf is not the same as 100 Zuz. The Vilna Goyen and Ebenezer and Simas HaMechvav, where the Ramah talks about the Mechaba and the Ramah talk about the amount that you give for the Ksuba. So the Vilna Goyen writes in the Bir Agra and Abedas and Simas HaMavav, he quotes from the Maharil that a Zakuk is some kind of a German coin or something, Austrian coin, whatever, that's equivalent.
The Maharil uses Litrin, which is German coins. I think the Polish coins are Zakukin, which is the same amount of silver.
So what is it the equivalent of?
It's
15 slime. It says it's three times Pidyon Aben. Three times Pidyon Aben. Is that what he says? Every Zakuk. I think that's what he writes. Tidy letters here, you gotta take a look. Sibkat and Chav Beis. Sim Samabal Sibkat and Chav Beis. I think he quotes the Maharil that every Zakuk is three times Pidyon Aben. So whatever you give for Pidyon Aben, that's one, you have to multiply by three, and that's one Zakuk. And then you have to multiply by 100. So that's a larger amount of money. And then the Mishnais talk about the fact that when the girl gets married, the husband obligates himself to the amount of money that she brings into the marriage. Let's say the girl gets married, she has jewelry and she has clothing, the father bought her an automobile, or the father bought her a home in Yerushalayim, or whatever the father brought her. The parents bought her linens and towels and furniture, whatever she brings into the marriage. So the husband, normally in the days of the time, the husband would write this into the ksuba. This would be called the Nichsei Tzoyim Barzal. He would assess the value of all of the property that she brings into the marriage, and he would obligate himself. Let's say she's going to lose the diamond ring, and the clothing that she has is going to get worn out. They're going to be married for many years, going to be happily married for many years. So by the time the husband's going to die, and she's going to want to collect the Nichsei Tzoyim Barzal, it's all going to be gone. All the dishes that the parents bought her are broken already by now. All the glasses, everything is gone. There's nothing left in the very beginning. But the husband obligates himself, in the event that he divorces the wife or he dies before her, he obligates himself to pay her the ikir ksuba, which is really the peanuts. What did you say that it was? $630. $630. He said $63 is the pinyan aben. This is 10 times pinyan aben. He has to give her $630, okay? That's enough for one day, to buy food for one day. And then he obligates himself to Tosefes Ksuba to give her 100 zakukin. Each zakuk is three times Pidyon Aben. Okay, that's a lot of money. And then he assesses arbitrarily the value of all of the Nichsei Tzoyim Barzal, the value of all of the Nedunya, the value of all the property that she brings into the marriage, clothing and jewelry and whatever it happens to be. So they always used to write an exaggerated amount. They used to assess it as 100 zakuk and kesed tzor. Sometimes today people get married and the father gives the couple an automobile and an apartment in Yerushalayim. It's worth more. So you should write down more. You should write down more than 100 zakuk and kesed tzor. So we write, there are three different parts to the ksuba. We write, sach hakol, the sum total is masayim zakukim kesef tzorah. That's a question in elementary arithmetic. How did it become Sahakol, if you're adding up Masayim Zuz, then 100 Zukuk and Kesel Tzarf Tosefes, then 100 Zukuk and Kesel Tzarf Nedunya, Nechse Tzarf Barzal, so that should be 200 Zukuk and Kesel Tzarf plus the Masayim Zuz. What happened to the 50 Shkol? So that's a Machlekes Achreinim. In the event that the girl actually collects the Ksuba, do we mean to say Sahakol Masayim Zukuk and what he added on, that the Tosefes Ksuba with the Nedunya adds up to Masayim Zukukin, but in addition to that, he has to still give her the $630? Or do you say no? That's absorbed. When he said Masayim Zuz for Tosefes, it meant Sachakol. $630 with the Tosefes should all add up to 100 Zukukin Kesra. So that's a Shaila, that's a Diyun in Achroidim. There's a Sefer Nachla Shiva that was written several centuries ago where he discusses every word in the Ksuba. Where what it means and where it comes from and all the different details. So he quotes his machlekes, the Bach and the Beis Shmuel. He quotes the machlekes Achreinim. What do you mean when you write Sachakol Masayim Zukuk and Kesel Tzor? That's the whole amount, or means that's the Sachakol of the additional amount, but that's over and above the Yikik Suba, which is, let's say, another $630, whatever the case happens to be.
$630 is even with the Kesel Tzor, meaning
Ikkik suba
for an almana would be less than
$100. Ikkik suba for an almana would be less than $100. Yeah, mamish peanuts. Yeah, so it's important you should add on. So years ago, the government in America required of a couple who get divorced that the husband has to pay alimony. So the alimony was always in excess of all of this. So this is the alimony. So he doesn't have to pay twice. So it was always understood, the husband pays alimony and this is taken care of, the ksuba is taken care of. So in recent years, that the wife doesn't always get the alimony, so Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, now we got to figure out how much is the ksuba, how much you have to pay. So you have to calculate. Sometimes it comes up halacha l'maaseh, so you have to know how much you have to pay for the ksuba. Yeah, what are these two prokim, the third perik and the fourth perik? The first two prokim and the rest of the Masechta, you have to know, for Ishus, it has all the dinim of Nisuin, Erisin, how to do Kiddushin and Erisin, that's a Masechas Kiddushin. And this is how to do Nisuin and all the details, all of the reciprocal obligations that are chal, the minute that you do the Nisuin. What are these two prokim doing over here is a little unclear. Maybe because of the fact that there's a difference between Oynes and Mefate. It's based on the Pesukim in Chumash, the Mishnah has it. Mishnah later, the Mishnah says that if a man is ma'anis a girl, I would have thought if the man is ma'anis a girl, she would want to kill him. She wouldn't want to marry him. But apparently, maybe in the days of the Tanakh, the girl feels so violated, she feels no one's, she's never going to find a shidduch. Who's going to want to marry her? So she'd be dafke once that he should marry her. I would assume today none of the girls would want to marry the ma'anes, the guy who raped her. So the Mishnah has the pasuk in Chumash, v'loy si'li isha, lo yuchal l'shalchel kol yomav. If the girl wants it, if the girl doesn't want it, so you don't force him to marry. If she doesn't want to marry him, so you don't force him to marry. But if the girl wants him to marry her, so the Torah says, v'loy si'li isha, lo yuchal l'shalchel kol yomav. Unless she becomes asur al bailo, let's say she becomes a soit asur al bailo, or let's say the man was ma'anis a girl who's a mamzeres, so then you don't have the din v'loy seili isha. The Mishnah says the din only applies to loy seili isha. That's the Mishnah lametes amid aleph. The last 10 lines in the Mishnah. Oynes shayse ba'atzitza. If he was ma'anis the girl, he's stuck, he has to marry her. If she wants him to marry her, he has to marry her. He's never allowed to divorce her unless she agrees. If she agrees, of course he can divorce her, but if she doesn't agree. The Gemara says in many places that if the husband gives a get to his wife, the get is chal bal korcho. The get is chal bal korcho shalu isha. And based on the gzer shava between the get isha and shtar shichur evik naini, we assume when you give shtar shichur to the evik naini, it's also chal. Even Bal Korcha of the Avikman, even that the Avikman does want to be Yotzei L'Cheres. So Achreinim ask, where did the Gemara get this assumption from? Where does it say that in Chumash, that a get is Chal Bal Korcha? Usually, a get is a shtar, so a shtar is a contract. You have to, both parties have to agree. A shtar Kiddushin, you can't be Mekadosh and Isha Bal Korcha, you can't sell property or buy property bal korcha of the other party. Whenever you have ishtar, normally you have to have das of both parties. How did the Tanoim know? How did the Gemara know that you can give a get bal korcha, and once you establish a get bal korcha, so the ishtar shicha rabbi kanai can also be chal bal korcha, because at gzereshava lo lo meisha gzereshava between two. How do they know? So the Stechemet quotes from Abshalom Levilna that he thinks the marker is this pasuk. The pasuk says that the oynes loisili isha lo yuchal leshalchel kol yamav. He has to marry her. He's never allowed to divorce. What do you mean never allowed to? What if she's fed up with him and she wants a get? So of course he's not in violation of the law. So the law only goes if he gives her a get bal korcha. So let her just say, I don't accept a get, and that's the end of the story. So you see from the Chumash that a get bal korcha is chal. It's just that he's not allowed to give the get bal korcha. The oynes is not allowed to give a get bal korcha. But if you do give a get bal korcha, it is chal. That's the mocker of the whole din. There's a machlokes hatanaim in the last Mishnah in Gittin. What are grounds for divorce? Machlokes bishama and bishil. So bishama say the only grounds for divorce are if motzaba erbos dover. That's how it says in Chumash. If he has Eidim who testified the wife was Mizana and the Soit HaSur al Baila, those are the only grounds for divorce. But just because he doesn't get along, he doesn't like the way she dresses, and he doesn't like the way she looks, and doesn't like the way she cooks, doesn't agree the way she raises the children, he can't stand his wife, that's not a valid grounds for divorce. And we don't paskin like Beisham, but we paskin like Bishil. Stam, if he fell out of love. So he's allowed a divorce. Anyway, this is L'chol HaDeis. A get bal korcha is chal is understood from this pasuk. Lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yomav, that the oynes is shoysa batzitza, he has to marry her if she wishes, if she wants him to marry her. She doesn't want his nisht. If she wants him to marry her, he has to marry her, and he's not allowed to give her a get bal korcha if he agrees. If she agrees, so he can certainly give her a get. If they both agree. If she doesn't agree, so then the Torah says, normally a get bal korcha is chal. And in this case, he's not allowed to do that. But this din, v'loy seili isha, doesn't apply whenever the isha is ena ruya loy. Here there's a discussion in the end of Eben Ezra. They have a siman about oynes and mefatan, towards the very end of Hilchos Soito, and a little before that, a few pages before the very end, they have the din of oynes and mefatan. So they have a discussion that the Mishnah says, at the end of Eila Nairis, we have a din that Moide Biknas is Potter. That's a Mishnah, Mem Aleph Omer Aleph. Moide Biknas Potter is in many Mesichtas. Let's say a person admits that he stole $1,000 from the bank, and he's chayv to pay $1,000 Karen, and an additional $1,000 of Kefil. So the Mishnah says the Karen he pays, or does Baldin Kimei Eidim Dom. He admits that he owes the bank $1,000. But the Kefil is a Knas. Zaklal, the Mishnah says, the last line on the Mishnah, Nem Aleph and Aleph. Zaklal, this is the rule. Kol Hamasham Yisrael Masha Izik, the Kefil is more than the amount that he was mapsed the bank. Zaynim Mishalim Al Piyatzma, because that's Knas. And Moedi B'Knas is Potter. That's a Klal. Learn that from Psukim. Moedi B'Knas is Potter. So the Achrenim have a whole discussion here by the Ma'anes. A man is Moedan his own. He was Ma'anes a woman. He says, Anasti upititi upitisi as bita shal pleini. So the din is that the Moedi B'Knas is Potter. He doesn't pay the Chamishim Shekel Kesef, not by Yoynes, and not by Mefate. What about V'loi Se'il Isha? V'loi Se'il Isha is also a punishment to the man who is Ma'anes, the girl. So do you say that's also a P'china of Knas, and Moedi B'Knas is Potter? Or do you say, no, that's a mitzvah. That's not a Knas. So the Pischei Tshuva in the end of Eben Ezra quotes the Tshuva Saradvaz that V'loi Se'il Isha is a mitzvah. And it applies Bizman Ezra also. You don't have, in order to be Dan Dinei Knas, let's say a person knows on his own, he stole $1,000 from his next door neighbor doesn't even know anything about it. Next door neighbor is so rich, he doesn't even know how much money he has, all his money stuffed in his mattress. So I stole $1,000,000 and he'll never know the difference. But I know on my own that I stole $1,000,000. So would it make sense that I should give him back $2,000,000? $1,000,000 for the Karen, $1,000,000 for the Kefil. So the Gemara says that we're going to get to it. It's in the fourth parak. That afilu bebalotze sedei shamayim, there's no midas chasidus to pay knas up until the time you make a gmar din. If Kolzman Bezdin didn't make a gmar din, that's the halacha. Moedi b'knas is potter. You have to have asher ashein olehim, yishalim shtayim lehem. You have to have olehim means a Bezdin of smuchim. After Paskin. So let's say a man was ma'anis a mafata girl, and he knows on his own, he's chayv chamishim shekel kesel. But we don't have a bezin of smuchim bismanazet. So there isn't even a midas chasidus to pay on one's own, to pay the knas on his own. What about to marry the girl by the case of oinus? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, a man was ma'anis a girl, he should really marry the girl. But in the days of the Shulchan Aruch, nobody had any smicha. Yosef Kara got smicha, so he meant he's writing the din for himself. He's going to put together Yosef Kara. Who else got Alshich? A couple of people got smicha. So the Pashto says that the din of Lo Seili Isha is not a knas. You don't have to wait till you have a psak of a bezin. So that's what the Radvaz is quoted by the Pischei Tshuva there. That this is a mitzvah. It's in the Sefer Mitzvahs. The Ram counts it as a separate mitzvah. One mitzvah to pay the chamishim shekel kesef. Another mitzvah, lo yisei leisha, to marry the girl. Yochel l'shalchol kol yamav. Yeah. And others question it. There's a discussion. The Afikayam has a discussion. Is that really so? Maybe we should consider even the lo yisei leisha as a chelek of the knas, and maybe we should say that that moed b'knas is potter. So that's a discussion. In that sefer Afikayam, which was written after the First World War, he quotes Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he quotes Adi Gdolim from that period. So he has a discussion whether we really accept this Radvaz. The Mechaber says that the din of Oynes should marry the girl applies Bizman Hazeh. He quotes it in the end of Eben Ezer. And it's on that Mechaber that the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Radvaz, that Moedei B'Knas Potter doesn't apply to V'Loi Seil Yisha. V'Loi Seil Yisha is a mitzvah, it's not a knas. If it would have been a knas, it would have required a psak din of a bezin of Shlosha Smuchim first. See, here the opening Mishnah in Eilu Nairis has a chiddush. What if the man is ma'anis a girl who is asura lo? The girl is a mamzeris. Let's say he's a kohen and the girl is a grusha, or the girl is a giyoris, so the kohen is not allowed to marry her. So you can't have this part of the punishment. Well, let's see, Lishi you can't have, because the Mishnah says later, we just read that Mishnah. The Mishnah says he has to marry the girl only if the girl is Isha Haruyalo. But if the girl is Asura to him, then he's not allowed to marry her. Where was that? Shenema Veloisili Isha Haruyalo. That's the last line in the Mishnah on Lamites Amid Aleph. The Gemara has a discussion on Mem Amid Aleph. The Gemara asks, why don't you say Esed Echaloise Ese? The Mishnah sounds like it's saying Ben Atarif. The man is Ma'anes, a girl who's Asura, the girl is a Mamzeres. Or he's a kohen, he was ma'anis, a girl who's a giyoris, so he's not allowed to marry her. So the Mishnah says that the whole din, v'lois alisha, doesn't apply. Mari asks, why not? Why shouldn't I say, eseh d'chalois eseh? I didn't look in the Mar Mekaymus yet for Avos Yisrael, but there's a famous Ramban here. Amem Amar Aleph, the Ramban interprets the Gemara's answer. It's a little unclear what the Gemara answers. So the Ramban explains that all of the chiyuvim b'rodom lachaveiro are all based on the pasuk of "V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha." You mechuyav to take care of other people's needs as if they would have been your own needs. Just like I take care of my own needs, mechuyav to do hashavas aveda for you. I mechuyav to do gmilas chasadim to take care of your needs as if they would have been my needs. So basically, the mitzvah of Eloi Seir Yisha is a mitzvah bin adam lachavera. It's not a mitzvah bin adam lamok. It's bin adam lachavera. So the Ramban explains in the Gemara, he quotes a Gemara from Bava Metzia. The Gemara says, "Mi dachina isura mikami mamayna." Let's say there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So a kohen is driving his car, and he sees that the fellow in front of him has a religious license plate. Obviously, he's a daf yomi or something, says, and has a license plate. And the guy in front, some of his luggage fell off. We were standing in the airport in Casablanca yesterday. So they had a wagon bringing all of the luggage to put it on the plane. So half of the luggage fell off, and we're standing there for 45 minutes, and we told the people there, some of the luggage fell off. No one bothered to tell, to call. They all have cell phones. No one bothered to call them up to tell them, and the luggage is still there. Luggage is still there. So the din is, you're supposed to take care of other people's needs as if they would have been your own needs. You're supposed to take care of other people's needs. So the Gemara says, let's say the Kohen lost an Aveda on the Beis HaKfaras. Would there be a Havamina that Esa Dechaloi says the Kohen is allowed to be Metamel Meisim in order to take care of his own Aveda? No, there's no mitzvah says it. Common sense dictates, take care of your own Aveda. So the Torah says, after the Racha Kamach, you have to take care of someone else's needs as if it would have been your own needs. So that's what the Gemara says. Aloshim bidachin and isura mikami mamoina. Esse decha lois esse doesn't apply if the esse is ben adam lachavera and the lois esse is ben adam lamok. And esse ben adam lachavera means I have to take care of his needs as if it would have been my needs, if it would have been my need. The Kohen lost an Aveda, he has no head to go to the cemetery to take care of his own Aveda. So to take care of someone else's Aveda is also, there's no head. So that's what the Ramban reads in the Gemara here. If the girl, the Gemara right before the two Mishnahs are men Amar Allah. So right before the first Mishnah, the Gemara discusses, how come you don't apply Esed Dechaloi Sese? If the man was Ma'anis, the girl, and the girl is a Mamzeris, the girl is a Gioris, and the Kohen is not allowed to marry her, the Yisrael is not allowed to marry the Mamzeris. So why do you tell me that that there's no mitzvah of Loi Sei Leisha? Why not say Esed Dechaloi Sese? So the Gemara says, no. Iyomra loy be'ino. If the girl would say, I don't want to marry him, then there is no essay. Why not? Because this is an essay be'aram l'chaveiro. It's not an essay be'aram l'mokam. Once you establish that it's an essay be'aram l'chaveiro, then the Ramban says, me'mele the klal applies. Essay de'chaloy sese doesn't apply. Mi'dachina nisura mi'kami mamoina. That's the Ramban's, you say, that all the mitzvahs of be'aram l'chaveiro are rooted in this pasuk of Bihafta the racha kamach, you have to take care of other people's needs as if it would have been your own need.
Yibum is also considered ben adam l'chaveiro?
That's a good question. Whether Yibum, no, the Gemara says that Esed Dechaloi says it does apply to Yibum. So obviously the Ramban at least will think that Yibum is ben adam l'makam, not ben adam l'chaveiro. Correct?
Yibum's switcher, so then the entire thing doesn't. Are you saying because I say Dechaloi says it?
No, the Gemara says Mikra Din, if the Yavam is a Mamzeres, the Yavam is permitted and obligated to be Miyabim Birishina. But we don't permit him to do Birishina because Xer Birishina ought to be a Shnia. Why do we allow Birishina? Because Esed Dechaloi says. So he's asking, if Yibum would have been a mitzvah Shemiral Machavera, the Ramban would have said that midachina nisurim mekamim amayna. So right, so the Ramban obviously thinks that Yibum is a mitzvah bin adam lamokam. It's not really bin adam lachavera. Yeah. So here, the opening Mishnah Elenaris writes a chiddush that the man who's ma'anis a girl has to pay chamishim shekel kesef and more chiyuvei mamon. Also, the Mishnahis will discuss and veloy se elisha. So one might have argued the point and said that the next Mishnah says V'loi Seili Yisha only applies B'Yisha Haruya Lo. If the woman is Asurali, then you don't say I'm Mechuyiv to marry her. If I'm Ma'anes, if I was Ma'anes, I'm Amzeres, the coin was Ma'anes, a Gioris, so there's no Din of V'loi Seili Yisha. So one might have argued the point and said that there's no Chiyiv to pay Chamishim Shekel Kesev either. Either you have the whole penalty, but you don't have anything. So that's when the Mishnah says a chiddush. Ela narish eishlam knas. Not only is there a knas by an isha ksheira, where you have the full punishment. You pay the chamishim shekel kesef and eloi seili isha, even if the woman is an isha hasuralo, that you're not allowed to marry her. So that part of the penalty, you can have eloi seili isha, but still the isha psula, you still have a knas. Even if the woman is asura. So that is a discussion here, Rashi and Tosfos, exactly why are all of these women asur? So a mamzeres is a pasuk in Chumash. Okay, so that's no two ways about it. What's the definition of a mamzer? What's the definition of a mamzer? So there are different opinions in Yevamos. There are different opinions in Tanoim. When a vlad is a mamzer? So the Gemara says we don't accept, one of the Tanoim said, let's all join together and reject Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Bo and Tzavech al Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Akiva was Marbi Mamzerim. Rabbi Akiva held many more people on Mamzerim than we usually assume, and we have not accepted Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So we restrict that Mamzerim is only a Boal, and one opinion is a Mamzer is only a Vlad from an Eishes Ish. One opinion is very restricted. So we don't accept Rabbi Akiva, who was Marbi many Mamzerim. All Chavi Laban are Mamzer, and we don't accept the opinion of the Tana only from Eishes Ish. We pasken by all Chavi Krisis. The Gemara says that's the view of Shimon HaTeimani. Shimon HaTimni, whatever, either came from Teimani, came from Timnas, came from a place, Timnas. So we pasken the Vlad is only Mamzer from Chavi Krisis. It doesn't have to be Chavi Mises Bezen. So So Aboal Achosa, Aboal, even Chavi Krisis, with the exception of Aboal Anida. Let's say a couple is married, they don't observe Taras HaMishpacha, so the Gemara learns out from a Pasuk, the Vlad is not a Mamzer. Usually these two go hand in hand, they go together. And Kiddush and Tovsin goes together with Havlad Mamzer. Let's say a man gives a ring to his next door neighbor's wife and he says, Hariat Mukudashusli. So the Kiddush and Anatovsin. It's an Issa Kares, Eshusish, an Issa Kares, an Issa Misa. So since there's an Issa Kares, so if he'll have an affair with her and they'll have a child, the Vlad will be a Mamzer. Let's say, Abu Alachoso. The Vlad is a Mamzer because if the man gives a ring to his sister and he says, Hariat Mukudashusli, so Enkiddush and Tovsin. Because it's Arayis, and Kiddushin Tovsin Barayis, so therefore the Vlad will be a Mamzer. Whenever it is an Issa Kares, then we declare that that's called Gili Arayis. Gili Arayis, not the same as Isuri Bia. Let's say we say that whenever a person's life is in danger, so we say Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Kala Tarkul. A woman has a baby on Shabbos, so the husband will drive it to the hospital if need be, and the doctor, the religious doctor, will treat her. And if a person has to eat on Yom Kippur to stay alive, a svek sveke of sakonis nefoshes is deicha Yom Kippur. Any slight suffix is deicha kol atarkula, deicha Shabbos, deicha Yom Kippur, chametz bet Pesach, everything, but there are gimel averus achamuris, where we say yehorig val yavah, by avod izorah, by gili arayis, and by shvichas dam. So what's the definition of gili arayis? Let's say somebody holds a gun to the head of the kohen, and they say you should have an affair with this grusha, otherwise, we're going to shoot you. So a kohen abo ala grusha is called Isuri Bia, but that's not called Gili Arayis. Gili Arayis is, it's only Yehorig Bal Yavah if it's Chai B'Krisis. Shach quotes this. Only the Shach, no, the Rebbe Kivege quotes it. And the Shach is in Simen Kufn and Zion in Yerideya. When the Shulchan Aruch talks about Yehorig Bal Yavah, so the Shach says that by Shnius L'Arayis. Shnius L'Arayis, the Gemara Yevamos gives a whole list of relatives who are not prohibited min HaTorah to marry, but mid the Rabbanon. Shlaima HaMelech introduced Shnius L'Arayis. So Shnius L'Arayis is only an Issa de Rabbanon. So the Shach quotes, Poskim will say that by Shnius L'Arayis, you don't say Yehorig Val Yavah. So Rabbi Kivege writes on that Shach, and Simen Kufn and Zayin, you're there. What did he quote? Shnius L'Arayis, only mid the Rabbanon. Even Yisurei Lavim, that are min HaTorah, are also not called Arayis, and there's no Yehorig Val Yavah. Rabbi Kivege quotes from Achrenim like that. Quote from Rabbi Mizrahi. So we assume that this it's relevant to know what's called Gili Arayis. Number one, for the purpose of Yehorig Val Yavah. You only say Yehorig Val Yavah if the level of the prohibition is Gili Arayis. If it's Yisuri Biyah, let's say Yisrael Baal HaMamzeres, or Koin Baal HaGrusha, that's not called Gili Arayis. That's called Yisuri Biyah. It's relevant for Yehorig Val Yavah. It's relevant for Ein Kiddush and Tovsin. We pass an Ein Kiddush and Tovsin by all the Chayvi Krisis. We pass King Kedushin Atovsin, not like Rabbi Akiva. We pass King Kedushin Atovsin. Rabbi Akiva holds Ein Kedush Tovsin Machai Belavin, and the Vlad is always a Mamzer. So we don't accept his opinion, he was outvoted. It says in today's Sedra, Shoftim Shot Titan Lacha Lishvatecha, how does it say? Bechol Sharecha Lishvatecha, every city, Becholi of the ear, every city has to have a Bezin. Then it says every Shevet has to have a Bezin. So Tosis has the question, if every sea has a Bezin, so let's say you have, how many states are there in the United States? 50 states. Every state has many cities. What do you mean there were 12 Shvatim, 13 Shvatim? What do you mean every Shevet has many cities? Every city, if it's big enough, needs a Bezin. So what's the Chiddush that a Shevet needs a Bezin? So Tosis says, if you have a city that's divided between two Shvatim, part of the city belongs to Shevet Binyamin, part of the city belongs to Shevet Yehuda, so they have to have a Bezin on each side of the city. Every Shevet has to have its own. Tosfos answers like that. So the Ramban HaChumash, in the first Pasuk in Parsha Shevetim, has the famous explanation. He says, no, there's a Mishnah in the first Perek in Hurrius. There was such an institution of Bezin HaGadol Shel HaShevet. We have a Bezin HaGadol in Yerushalayim that sits and meets in the Lishkas HaGozes. It's also in today's Sedrik. You have to follow the psak of the Bezin HaGadol shall call Yisrael. And then the Mishnah is having the first Perek in Hurrius, there was an institution, a Bezin HaGadol shall osa HaShevet. So all the people from that Shevet should go ask a Shaila of that Bezin HaGadol in that Shevet. And that psak is binding on all the members of that Shevet. And you can have theoretically, and then the Mishnah is have a whole discussion, would there be a din of Par Helam Dorishal Tzibur? if the rav of the members of that shevet violated an isa chometz or an isa shabbos b'shogeg based on a mistaken psak of the Bez Nagar shall also shevet, would there be a din of parhal of shal tziba? That the Bez Nagar shall shevet has to bring a special chatas. The Ramban says that's what it says in the pasuk. Lishvatecha b'cholir v'ir, that's lisharecha, every city in Eretz has to have a shevet. And lishvatecha means that you have to have a Bez Nagar shall shevet. What's the idea of Bez Nagar shall shevet? Apparently the Rabban Shalom wanted that there should be different forms of avodas Hashem. It's boring if all the Jews are going to do the same thing. So these Sfaradim do one way, and the other Sfaradim do a different way, and these Hasidim do their way, and the other Hasidim do their way, and the non-Hasidim, the Litvakas do their way, and the Galatianas do their way. And there are many different drachim in Avodas Hashem, and that's Eilu V'Eilu, Divri L'Kim Chaim, if it's all based on Midrash HaTor and Midrash HaSbem. So the Ribbono Shel Olam initially wanted there should be Yud Bei Shvatim, and every Shevet should have a different approach in Avodas Hashem. So you have in the days of the Tanaim, the Gemara says when Moshe Rabbeinu was on HaSinai, the Baruch Shalom was going to give him the Torah. So the Baruch Shalom finished writing the whole Torah, and then the Baruch Shalom is busy putting on Tagim. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you need these Chachkalach for? Give me already the Torah. They're waiting for the Torah. So the Baruch Shalom says, no, there's going to be a Rebbe Akiva. He's going to darshan, and all the Tagim is going to darshan Tili Tilim Shel Alochas. Tons of Alochas. We have not accepted Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and the Gemara doesn't quote one drasha at all. I don't think anyone shots, but doesn't quote any drashas at all based on the tagim of the Chumash. Why did Rabbi Shalom put in the tagim? Because that's one approach. The Eilu V'Eilu Divi L'Kim Chai. Rabbi Shalom recognizes there's more than one derech in Avodas Hashem. So here also there's a machlekes hatanoim, what constitutes Gilei Arayis and what constitutes Mamzeris. So the Gemara says that one of the times said, let's all join together and not vote Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva is too much machmir in the area of Aven Kiddush and Tovsin and Avlad Mamzer. We have not accepted. Usually we accept Halacha Rebbe Akiva Mechaveroi when he disagrees with other individual Tanaim contemporaries of his. But Ein Halacha Rebbe Akiva Mechaveroi when he disagrees with the majority. So we don't accept his opinion. So here we have not accepted his opinion. So by Chai B'Lavin, we say it's not Gili Arayis, and there's no Yehorek Val Yavar, and Kiddushin Atovsin, and the Vlad is not a Manza. So the Mishnah has that, and even by Chai B'Krisis, where it is Yehorek Val Yavar, and Kiddushin Anatovsin, still the Mishnah holds that you still have to pay, and now Sheishalem Knas, he still has to pay, even though there's no Velosi El Isha, not by the Chalavin, not by the Chai B'Lavin, not by the Chai B'Krisis. So you don't have the Lisei Elisha, but you still have the Chiyuv to pay the Chamishim Shekel Kesef, that you do have to pay. And the Mishnah says, the reason why you have to pay, because there's no Misa. The next Mishnah is going to say, let's say the man is Ma'anes, a woman with a Zechiyuv Misa. So then you don't pay. You don't pay the Chamishim Shekel Kesef, because even though the mitzvah of paying the din of paying chamishim shekel kesef applies, even when there's no din of a loisei liyisha, but if there's a chiyuv misa, then the Mishnah has a din of kamlei b'dirab minei. That's a pasuk in Mishpatim. Kamlei b'dirab is a pasuk in Mishpatim. What's the mocker, the original mocker for kamlei b'dirab minei? By the parsha of Dmei Velodis, it says ki notza anashim v'nokfu isha hara. People, two men are fighting with each other, and they bumped accidentally into a woman who's pregnant, and they caused her to lose the baby. So the Torah says, "Lo yeh asan," if the woman doesn't get killed, "Anishi anish kashi yashis al balu isha," the one who caused her to lose the baby has to pay the mevulados to the husband, to the father of the baby. "Masan yeh," but what if the woman dies? Then minasata nevish tachas nevish. So you see from the pasuk a few things. First, what you see. That for killing an uber, there's no misa's bezin. Only if you're killing a person who is the woman. If you kill a woman, then there's a din of kam lebi derab mine, because there's a chiyuv misa. Yeah, maybe you killed b'shoigeg, so there's no chiyuv misa, but you still say kam lebi derab mine. But killing the uber, you see from the pasuk that there's no chiyuv misa. Then you see that there's an institution of kam lebi derab mine. So the Mishnah has that din of kam lebi derab mine, that's what it sounds like. Sounds like the din of kam lebi derab mineh only applies when there's a chiyuv misa in mamon. But if you have malchus, some of these people have malchus. When you have malchus in mamon, it sounds that there's no din of kum lebi derabbanei. So that's going to be a whole discussion in the Gemara. This perek is known. The beginning of the perek has daf after daf after daf dealing with the details of the din of kum lebi derabbanei. How come the perek begins with the word elu nairus? The pasuk describes both by einus emefate ki fate ish naira besula. It talks about naira. What is a naira? Naira, when a girl is born, she's a ketana till she becomes a bas mitzvah. When does she become bas mitzvah? Yud beishana v'yamecha, then she has shtei sairis, be'eva ha'erva. Then she becomes a gedoyla. When she becomes a gedoyla, bas mitzvah, she's a naira up until 6 months later. And then at the age of 12 and a half, then she becomes a bogeris. So the ketana and the naira are bishus avia, and the bogeris is not bishus avia. So the Mishnah sounds like it's the pasuk says that the din of einus emefata applies to a naira. The Gemara is going to quote a machlokes Ramei and Chachamim. When the pasuk says naira, it means naira below bogeris, but a ketana does have, if the girl is younger than 3 years old and he was ma'anasar, so younger than three, the guy's a meshugana. The younger than three, they should send him to a psychiatric ward. Okay, you got to do that too. Man is a little baby. But if the girl is younger than three, that's called Ein B'yosabir. That doesn't count at all. But if she's older than three, but she's not yet a naira, she's not yet bat mitzvah. So that's a machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Is there a din of einus emefata? Is there a din of knas? Einus emefata by a ketana. We paskin like the Chachamim against Rav Meir. And the Gemara says, why? The Gemara is going to explain. There are midrash ha'teren edreshes mehem. So one of the midrash ha'teren edreshes mehem is that sometimes there are words in Chumash that are spelled mole and sometimes choser. So the word naira is once in a while it's spelled nunai and resh hey, and most of the time it's spelled nunai and resh. So naira, nunai and resh without the hey is choser. An incomplete naira is a ketana. So the Gemara says the fact that it says when the naira hamarasa is mezana, she's chay misa, there it says nunayin reish hey, because a ketana she's in, so it's not chay misa. But a ketana who is nenso and is patso, so we paskin like the chachamim, so the Gemara is going to say the drasha of the chachamim is based on the fact that the pasuk is written chasa. We have many, there was a rav in Germany 100 years ago who wrote a whole sefer, he collected all the drashas in the Gemara that are based on mole and chaser. A lot of them are very surprising. You never even realize it, that the drasha was based on the fact that the word is spelled in Chumash sometimes, Malay sometimes, Chasa. Okay, we'll stop now. Tomorrow we have a normal day, I think. Every day we have to judge whether the next day is normal or not. Okay, I think tomorrow is normal. And maybe think about the possibility a suggestion was made last term. So people have to think about it. Some people are interested and learning the first parak. So maybe we should spend 3 days a week on the third parak and 1 day a week on the first parak. Or maybe not. So give it some thought.